Amen, amen. Good morning, church.
Morning.
So I had the opportunity a couple of weeks ago to preach at the Creek, and then last week at the Smyrna campus, and now here. So I think they saved the best for last, right? And so, yeah, all right. Just don't tell the other campuses I said that, all right? So so good to be here. And so just a little bit about myself. I came from Southeast Asia. I was born in Laos, but our family came over to the U.S. when I was four and grew up. We went to East Nashville, but then I spent most of my childhood, my teenage years in Antioch, and so not too far from here. And got saved when I was 13. The Lord called me into ministry a couple of years later in high school. And I've just been following him and trying to live for him. And the last 10 years have been in Memphis, where I was in seminary, but also planted a church and work in an urban context, worked in the inner city. And so we saw a lot of great things that God was doing there. Then the Lord called us back here to Middle Tennessee about a year ago, where I pastored International Community Church that meets out at Weary Housing. And now we're about to embark on the next season of life and ministry in Thailand, and so we're pumped and we're excited about that, and just excited to be serving the Lord and grateful to be here with you. So this morning we are finishing up our Advent series, and we're going to be focusing on the theme of love, of God's love for us. And so as we think about God's love and we think about the Christmas story, you know, we're just reminded of the gift that was given to us in Christ, right? That at Christmas we received that gift. And so gifts are a big part of Christmas celebration. I can remember my first Christmas. We arrived in the U.S. in September of 1986, and it was a cold winter. And for a family coming from Laos, we didn't experience too many cold temperatures, right? And so something started falling out of the sky, and it was white, you know, and we're like, what is this thing, right? And so it was a cold, cold winter. And then we started noticing that all around the neighborhoods, lights start going up on houses. People were bringing trees into the house, you know. What was that about, you know? And then we started seeing pictures of this kind of big fat guy in a red suit, you know, and a big beard, right? They called Santa. Him Santa. Oh, yeah, Santa, right? Yeah, and so we didn't celebrate Christmas in Southeast Asia, right? And so that was strange and new to us. And then one day, the volunteer family from a local church that was serving us, and I mean this family really loved on us well. You know, they helped my parents to learn English, to find jobs, help them take them to the grocery store, things like that. Well, one day during this time called Christmas, they came over and they brought gifts. You know, they brought toys for the children. There were seven of us. Okay, I come from a family of nine, and so there were seven of us. And so I didn't know what Christmas was all about at that age, but one thing I knew, there were gifts and I liked it, right? And so I wasn't complaining. And so it wasn't until later, after we became followers of Christ and we then understood the Christmas story, that gifts are given ultimately because God gave us the ultimate gift, amen? And so in the Christmas story, we see the gift of Jesus. We also see gift giving in the Christmas story through the wise men, right? And so the wise men came and brought gifts to Jesus and his family. And so do you remember what those gifts were?
Yes.
Yeah, there was gold, there was frankincense, and there was myrrh, right? So the three gifts that the wise men brought. And so if you think about these gifts, you know, gold makes sense, right? Gold is valuable. It's like money in our day, right? And so you can see why that would be a great and valuable gift, right? But then there's frankincense, okay? And so listen, you know, I didn't fully learn English until I was in the third grade, okay? Before that, I struggled through school. I was in ESL. You know, English is my second language. And so when I first heard frankincense, you know what I thought of? Frankenstein, you know? And so I was like, why would you give Frankenstein at Christmas, right? And so, but frankincense is this gum resin that's made out of balsam trees, and it's found all over, you know, Arabia and North Africa. And it was an ingredient that was used to make perfume and incense. That's why it's frankincense, okay? It's an incense. And it was news in the Jewish temple for worship, and so it was news a part of rituals, okay? And then the other gift is like frankincense. It's called myrrh, and it's a similar substance, also used for perfume, used for anointing oil, but primarily used for the embalming of dead bodies, okay? And so you think about these gifts, you're like, why these gifts, right? And so now they were valuable in that time, but also, you know, most theologians believe that there were symbolic representations in these gifts, that gold is a gift fitted for the King of Kings, that frankincense was to represent that he is going to be, you know, our high priest, right? That he is the priestly role that he will play, and that myrrh was foreshadowing of his death, the death that he was going to die for us. And so, but either way, none of these gifts were the main gift that day. The main gift was that baby that was swaddled up in the manger. Amen. And so this was the ultimate gift that is given to us. Now, when we think about gifts, it could be a tricky thing, right? I'm not particularly great at giving gifts, but you know, gifts tell us something about ourselves. And it tells us something about the person that gave it to us, right? Have you ever had a gift? You ever received a gift and it was just perfect? It was perfect for you and you said, wow, this is exactly what I wanted. You know me so well, right? So thoughtful. You remembered that when I said that I like this or that, right? And so, for example, when I was in college, I remember one of my friends gave me this, it was a huge box and it had all these CDs in it. It was this an anthology of all of Michael Jackson's, all of his songs, all of his albums. Now, what does that tell you about me?
I love Michael Jackson.
All right. So, you know, a gift, when you receive something, you can tell that you can tell something about yourself, right? And I could tell that the person who gave it to me was thoughtful, knew me well, right? On the flip side, you may receive a gift that maybe you're like, okay, you didn't think this through, right? Why would you give me this, right? Why would you give me that? And you also run into the danger, too, of maybe, and this is why I stay away from, especially for my wife, I don't buy her clothes, okay? I don't buy her clothes. Her style is much better than mine, and I don't want to run the risk of getting the wrong size, right? Okay, all right, you get the wrong size, and all of a sudden they're like, what are you trying to say, you know? You trying to say I'm too fat, you know, right? And so, or if you get a size too small, they're like, you trying to tell me I need to lose weight, you know, fit into these, right? So you've got to be careful. It's tricky with gifts, you know? And so, but gifts tell us something about ourselves. When we receive something, you know, it tells us, why was I given this gift? And it also tells us about the giver. And so when we think about the gift of Christmas, the gift that God gave us in his son, we ask the question, what does this say about us and our need? And what does it say about God, right? And why he would give us the gift of his son. And so we want to explore this, and we want to see that first, that the gift of Jesus demonstrates to us God's love for us. The gift of Jesus is the greatest demonstration of God's unconditional love. The passage in the Bible that is the most clear about why his son was given is the most well-known passage. You learned this as a kid. You've sung songs about it. It's John 3:16, right? People hold up the signs in football games, right? Like, we know this verse. So would you say it with me, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life or eternal life, right? So this verse clearly states why he gave his only son. That he gave his son because he loved the world. It is out of his love for us that he gave, that God demonstrated love by his action, his giving, the giving of his son. That the gift of Christ is for us out of God's love for us. Now, what does this mean that God loves us? So we're going to explore this theme of love, God's love. Now, when we use the word love in the English language, we use it interchangeably in different contexts. And we mean it in different ways, but we use the same word, right? So when I tell my wife, honey, I love you, I say love, right? And when I have my favorite meal and I say, oh, I really love this, I use the same word, but do I mean the same thing? No, right? Or when I say, you know, my favorite movie, okay? My favorite director is Christopher Nolan, and so I love all of his movies. My favorite movie is Inception, right? I say, I love this movie, Inception. Do I mean the same thing as I love my wife? I hope not, right? And so, but we use, in the English language, we use the same word. But in the Greek language, which is the language of the New Testament, it's a Koine Greek, which is the common Greek of the day. They had nuances to their language, and so they used different words, for example, for love, and is translated into the English as love, but when you dig a little bit deeper, you see that there were different words that were used, okay? So, for example, there's a Greek word translated love in English that is phileo, okay? And this is a Greek word that talks about a love between friends, okay? So like a brotherly love, all right? So it's phileo. So in the Greek, you will see that word phileo. And so for example, if you guys know that the word Philadelphia, okay? So Delphi is a Greek word for city, and then you've got, phila at the beginning, so you put that together, is describing the city of what? Brotherly love, okay? And so that's where we get the word Philadelphia, right? Or there's also another word, eros, in the Greek. And this is a word used to describe romantic love, intimate love, usually between, spouses, right? And so this is where we get the word erotic from, okay? And so there are different words that are used. Well, what about this word in John 3:16? When it says that for God so loved the world, what is the Greek word there? And what is the meaning behind that, okay? So the Greek word here for love is agape, okay? Agape. And this is a word that is not used very often in the New Testament. And so we have to look at the context of the verse to give us an understanding of the meaning of this kind of love. And so when we look at John 3:16, it describes to us what kind of love this is. It is a kind of love that is sacrificial. It is a kind of love that is unconditional. This is beyond the love between two friends, beyond a love between spouses, beyond any other kind of love. This is a deep, unconditional, sacrificial love. And what is the most sacrificial thing that you can do to somebody? Think about all the ways that you sacrifice for other people. You sacrifice your time, you sacrifice your money, you sacrifice your resources. But ultimately, the greatest sacrifice is to give of your life, right? To give your life. That is the ultimate sacrifice. And so we see here that God, there was a giving of life here, that he sent his son. He gave his son for us. And this is the agape love. Now, as a father, I'm a new father, right? So I still consider it new. I've got a two-year-old. It still feels new. and so this is so mind-boggling to me. All right, have you ever tried to wrap your mind around this concept that God loves us in a way that he gave his only son? Listen, I've got a beautiful little two-year-old girl, and she had me wrapped around her finger from day one, okay? Now, we had a home birth, water birth, and so I got to be a part of that very much. It was over 20 hours and with my wife the whole time, and so I got to catch, okay? And so from the moment she arrived, and I was there, and we just had this instant bond and this instant connection, and I love her with all of my heart, and even when my wife and I talk, having a second child. One of the things I say, maybe you've been here, where you're with your first child, you're thinking about your second child, and you say, I don't know if I can have another one. I've given all the love that I have, for this child, and I can't imagine having another one. People tell me that your love just multiplies, right? And so, but just this concept, this idea that I would give up and sacrifice my child for others. Listen, if it was between my daughter's life and all of your lives, I've got bad news for you. You guys are beautiful people. You look wonderful. I'm sure you're very nice. Okay, I'm sure you're very kind, but I would choose my daughter any day, okay? And so I'm sure you feel the same way with your children, right? And so this concept of love, and if you think about it, the Bible teaches us that, you know, we weren't friends of God, we were enemies of God. That while we were sinners, Christ died for us, right? And so God gave his son, not even for people who loved him and who were pursuing him, but for people who were in rebellion against him, you and me, right? And so that is a love. It's hard for me to understand. You know, I know it with my mind, and I'm trying to understand it with my heart, but sometimes it's hard to wrap our minds around the depth of that love. Well, that's exactly what God did for us. That's why we sing a song like this morning, how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, right? And that's why Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18, that he prays for the saints to be strengthened when they comprehend and understand the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of the love of Christ. That we need to, if we're going to fully experience God's love, we need to fully understand the value of that love. And when we understand that, it changes us. You know, love changes people. Love changes us. It marks us in a way, right, that it could even, you know, change the entire trajectory of our life. An example of this is a story my father told me of when we were younger. And we had first just got to America. Maybe it was like our second year. And it was another cold winter. And it was in the middle of the night. Our family was sleeping. And then my father starts, you know, he starts hearing this pounding noise, this sound. And he's wondering what's going on. And we lived in East Nashville. And it's not the hipster East Nashville. It was the hood, you know. And so when you hear a noise like that, you're thinking, what's going on? Someone breaking into the house, you know, what do we do? And, you know, there's nine of us, seven kids, we had a big family, and so my dad's trying to protect the family, so he goes outside, he's trying to follow this noise, and he notices somebody was on their knees with a hammer kind of banging on the side of the house. He immediately recognizes that it's David Wood. David was the volunteer from that church that helped my family to learn English and to get jobs and all of that. And so my dad called out to him. He said, "David, what are you doing?" And David said, "You know, I was in bed tonight, and house was real cold, and I remembered that the crawl space in your house that had a big hole in it." And he said, "I just couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep unless I came out here and patched up this hole so that your family could be warm tonight." And my dad knew that David lived across town. He knew that it was, you know, it took a long time for him to get there. And something began to just really stir in my dad's heart. And he said, why would this guy drive across town in the middle of a cold winter night, leaving his own family to come and patch up this hole? Why would he love me and my family so much?" And my dad tells me that was really a pivotal turning point in his life when he began to question his faith, which is Buddhism, and began to ponder about this magnificent love of God that he saw demonstrated through David. People are changed by love. They're marked when they experience deep and lasting and true love. And so may it be that we, as followers of Christ, don't just know the facts that God loves us, but that we experience and that we would come to know the depth and the length and the height and the breadth of God's love. And maybe some of us this morning, we say, "I've experienced that love, and I'm overwhelmed by that love, and it has changed my life." But if we're honest, maybe some of us sit here in this room, we say, "You know, all my life, that's like the first thing you learn in church, right? That God loves you, and you may have it, you know, in here in your mind, but maybe I just haven't really experienced his love." You see, there's a difference between knowing something and knowing something. Knowing something here and knowing something here, there's a difference, right? And it's this knowledge, right, that changes us, that motivates us, that really drives us. And so have you experienced experience, not just here, but have you experienced the love of God? And has it changed you? Has it marked you? And so this morning, I want us to look at some ways that we can experience God's love more deeply, all right? That we can go from just merely knowing God's love, but how can we experience it more deeply? So I just want to share a few things with you this morning that would hopefully help us to get on this track, all right? So the first is that if we want to fully experience the love of God, then listen, we've got to wage war against sin, okay? That if we want to experience God's love in our heart, then there cannot be room for anything else, right? So look with me in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 16. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 16. It says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world." What this passage tells us is that if we're going to experience the love of God in us, we cannot have a love for sin. You cannot be pursuing and going after sin and expect to experience fully the love of God. You might be wondering, why am I not close to the Lord? Why do I not have this intimacy with God? Well, the first question we must ask is there abiding, indwelling, unrepentant sin in my life? You know, that's like saying, that's like if I were to have an adulterous affair and then say, why is my marriage not so great? It's like if I were to have this affair and then say, well, you know, how come I'm not loving my wife that well? There's no room for a divided heart, okay? So you cannot expect to pursue after sin, right? And then still think that you could be intimate with God. If you want to fully experience the love of God, then we must fight sin. Sin is not something we manage. Sin is something we fight and we flee from and we kill. All right? And so if we want to fully experience the love of God, then we must hate sin. And so the question is there something in your life that is keeping you? Is there some sin in your life or is there an idol in your life? You know, John Calvin says that the human heart is an idol factory, right? That we're always, you know, we were prone to wander from him, right? And that we're always pursuing something else. We see that all throughout the Old Testament with God's people, particularly in the book of Judges, right? Where they would follow God and then they would fall away to idolatry. They would follow God and they would fall away to idolatry. Man, that's true of our hearts. Right, that we would, you know, we're good with God, then all of a sudden, you know, something takes our affections from him, right? And so that must be a constant push and fight. Pursue holiness and pursue the things of God, and you will begin to experience more deeply and understand more deeply this love of God that he has for you. Second, if we want to experience the love of God, then we must live in the Word. We must be bathed in the Word of God, because this is how God reveals himself to us. This is how we have intimate times with him. This is where we learn of his deep and abiding love for us. You know, when my wife and I, we've been married going on 11 years now, and when we were dating, we started dating in college. We didn't live in the same state. We didn't live in the same town. We went to separate colleges. We were about an 8.5-hour drive apart from each other. So if you've ever been a part of a long-distance relationship, you know what that's, you know what that's like. But every day, you know, we would talk on the phone at night, and this is pre-social media, okay? So all of you who've got, you know, if you've got FaceTime, you've got smartphones, all of that, okay, we didn't have any of that back then, right? And so it was AOL and, you know, dial-up. But every day, I knew that after my class, I would go to the library, and I would open up my AOL email, and I knew that an email was coming from her. Right, and she would tell me about her day, or she would tell me about, you know, what's on her mind or whatever. And you know what? I looked forward to these emails so much. you know. And we would try to get creative with it, you know. We would have, you know, a title where we'd have to guess, like, you know, what is this email about, right? And so, but I enjoyed that, and I would open it. I would sit there on the computer screen. I would just read, you know, those emails. Some would be long, some others would be short, but I just cherish those. You think that I would just read it flippantly or just, oh, I gotta read this email real quick. Let me just get done with this so I can go on to other things. No, of course not, right? Why? Because I longed for these times, you know, and through the reading of these love letters, right, love emails, I got to know her. I got to know, you know, more about who she was and about her love for me. And I would write her letters and share with her, you know, my love for her. All right. Listen, that's the same approach we got to take when it comes to our time with the Lord. Okay? When we're spending time with the Lord, hey, this is how I am going to know deeply who God is. And I'm going to discover, even through the stories and through the teachings and all that, I'm going to discover God's incredible love for me. And I'm going to experience more deeply what that means. Okay, but if we take the approach of, I guess I got to read, you know, and I'm just going to check it off, you know, of my box, and I'm not really spending time abiding in it, I'm not really letting it minister to my heart and minister to me, then we're going to miss out. We're going to miss out on fully experiencing God's love for us, okay? So if we're going to experience the love of God, we must fight sin, and we must live in the Word, okay? It's going to take time. We've got to be patient. We've got to let the Word of God abide in us. And I know that, especially during this time, we've got busy schedules. We've got parties. We've got so many things going on, but we must make this a priority, all right? If you want to experience the love of God this Christmas season and really fully experience what it means that He gave His Son for us, then we must be in intimate relationship with Him through the reading of His Word. We must be intentional and guard this time, all right? Third, if we want to experience God's love more fully, then we must be in community, okay? God has designed us in a way to be in community with others who love God. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Paul closes out his letter with this. He says, "Finally, brothers, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace." And what's the promise? The promise here is that, "And the love of God," all right, "and peace," all right, "the God of love and peace, He will be with you." We will experience God's peace and God's love, right? When we're in community, we are restored, we comfort one another, we agree with one another, we live in peace, okay? And so God has designed for us to experience Him and to live out the faith with others. It's the way He has designed us for community. He has not designed us to live in a silo. Right? He's not designed us to be isolated. But sadly, that's how a lot of people live out their Christian faith. You know, they say, you know, it's just me and God. I don't need the church. I don't need, you know, community. I don't need others. And people do that for a number of reasons. It could be that they've been hurt by the church. It could be that they've been hurt when they've entrusted themselves to somebody and they were betrayed. It could be a number of reasons why people are closed out. But the reality is this. If you want to truly experience God's love in a deeper way, that may only come through being a part of a community in which God wants to extend His love to you through other people. Okay? There are commands in the Scripture that you cannot be obedient to apart from being in community. Comfort one another. You can't do that by yourself. Okay? Love one another. You can't do that by yourself. Forgive one another. You can't do that by yourself. Bear one another's burdens. You can't do that by yourself, right? God wants to use other people to make you more like His Son, to make you more holy. And that, you know, is iron sharpens iron, right? Like God wants to do that in your life. And so if we want to fully experience that and what it means, then we must be open. We must open ourselves and say, "God, I know that You want me to experience You in a deeper way. as I open my life up to other people. And that's what we need, right? That's what we need. Think about the times in which you've come to understand God's love or God's peace or God's joy, whatever, you know, these things, these attributes of God. Think about the times when you've understood that because God has brought somebody else into your life to speak into your life, right? To go through these times with you, right? And so there are lessons that we can only learn. There are things that we can only become as a result of being in community, all right? We had at our church in Memphis, we had a family that was visiting our church. They come from a Hindu background. And so we were trying to minister to them and sharing the message of Christ with them. We did some Bible studies in their home. They were visiting our church for a little bit. But they were just sort of kind of on and off. And then one day, they had a tragedy happen in their family. This young man who was about my age, his mom was killed in a car accident, and it was very tragic, and it was a rough time for them. Well, our small group, we really came around them, we rallied around them, we were over at their house a lot, and we brought food, and we prayed with them, and just really, you know, was there. We were just present with them, and at the end of that, you know, this family, the entire family, turned to Christ and became followers of Jesus Christ, and they're now serving at a church in Ohio, And so when they shared their testimony at our church about why they came to Christ, they said, you know, for a long time, I visited the church and you guys told me so much about the love of God. But when I went through this tragedy, when I lost my mom and this small group came around and just really was there and loved on me, I had heard about the love of God, but for the first time, we experienced the love of God. They experienced the love of God, right? And so we experienced God in a way that can only be possible sometimes through community, right? And so I want to challenge you this season to pursue experiencing the love of God, right? That this gift that's been given us, we know it here. Let us pursue experiencing Him and His love here. Let us fight sin, all right? What are some idols we need to fight against in our life? Right, let us live in the Word. Right, let us sit in the Word. Let's spend time. Let us make that a priority so God can minister to us through His Word. And I want to challenge you as well. If you're not part of a community, a small group, you know, having people that can speak into your life and you can speak into their life, I want to encourage you to get involved. You know, you receive a Next Steps brochure when you came in, and it can tell you about opportunities, about how you can get connected. You can open your life up to others because God wants you to experience Him in community. All right, so let's pray together. We'll close out, and I want to challenge you to respond to how God has spoken to you this morning, and what steps you need to take. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love. It is a deep love that is hard for us to comprehend. But God, we want to do more than just comprehend it with our minds. We want to experience your love. Father, we thank you that while we were yet sinners, your Son Christ died for us. God, we thank you for that unconditional, sacrificial love. And Father, may we be changed by that love. God, may it change our whole outlook on life, change the whole trajectory of our life, or that we are a people marked by God's love. So, Father, I'm praying for the person here this morning who has come to understand this great love for the very first time, and they need to turn their life to you. Father, would you stir in their hearts? Would you draw them to yourself? God, I pray for the person who's known all their life that God loves them, but lately they just haven't experienced this love. God, in this season, as they fight sin, as they live in the Word, as they get connected, God, would you help them to experience your love in a deeper way? They may come to know the length and the depth and the breadth and the height of this love. And Father, may we carry this message of agape love to others in our lives that have not experienced this love, to our families at Christmas, to our friends, to our neighbors. God, may we who are marked by the love of God share the love of God with others. We pray in Jesus' name.